Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message. Names are funny things. I've been thinking about names for the last few weeks. Names are funny things. When our parents give us names, they usually give us a first name, and they give us a middle name, and then they give us a last name as well. And what's funny about being in the United States that I've noticed is that many people don't just go by their first name, they go by their middle name. This is something that I had not experienced before I moved to the United States, and I started meeting people, and they would tell me their name, and then I would rehearse their name and remember their name, and then like 10 years later, I would find out that's not actually their first name, they go by their middle name. And I felt so deceived, and I felt like I'd been lied to for the last 10 years. Like, I thought that I knew you, but now I don't know you. Is anything that you've told me about you even true? And this is like a weird part of American culture. Like, you're Mark or you're John, and I don't even know who you are. But your parents give you a first name, and your parents give you a middle name, and your parents give you a last name in this culture. But it's funny because even those names that your parents gave you are not the names that survive through your high school. When you're in high school, more often than not, you encounter friends that change your name and give you a nickname. This is not the name that your parents gave you on your birth certificate, but you now have a nickname in your life. And usually these nicknames are because they have become friends with you and had experiences with you. And if you don't know this, Australians are like world class when it comes to giving nicknames. We take, Mara said yes, we take pride in our ability to give nicknames to people. If your name was Rebecca at birth, it doesn't matter what your parents called you, you are now Beck or you are now Becky. If you were called Timothy when you were born, it doesn't matter that you were called Timothy, you're now called Tim or Timo or Timmy or something like that. And Meredith discovered this when she moved to Australia. She and her brother Stephen arrived, and if you don't know this, her parents called them Stephen and Meredith, two names that should not be shortened. They were very clearly Stephen and Meredith. And on the very first, Pastor Kathy said, yes, that's what they were meant to be. And they didn't know that when they got to Australia, that was not going to remain. When Stephen arrived, it didn't take more than a few hours for him to change from Stephen to now Steve, or from Stephen to now Steve-O, or Stevie, or something like that. And Meredith's name is a little bit more difficult to shorten, but she became Mary pretty quickly, and she hates it. And so every now and again, when she gets out of line or she starts acting up, I say, Mary, that's enough. I'm going to stand back over here real quick. But nicknames speak, they speak relationship, they speak memories, they speak moments of significance in our life. And there was a season in my life when I was known as Muffins. I said it was a season. I don't want anyone calling me Muffins anymore. There was a season that I was called Muffins, and the reason was I had a birthday, and I had people over to my house for my birthday, and someone brought me muffins for my birthday, and on the container they wrote, Happy Birthday Muffins. As in, like, these are birthday muffins for you, but somebody read it as happy birthday, comma, muffins. Like, that was my name. And so for the next 2 years, 2 years of my life, I was called Muffins. Again, that was seasonal. You may not call me Muffins anymore. Names are funny things, though. When you become a parent, you're no longer just known as your first name. You become known as mom, or you become known as dad. That is until your kids grow up a little bit and you're no longer just mom and dad, as our kids have started trying to call us bruh. And our little 4-year-old the other day said to me, "Hey, bruh, what's for dinner?" And I was like, "Bruh, are you kidding me? Your bruh does not put food on the table. Your bruh does not put a roof over your head, does not drive you around where you're going. That's not what your bruh does. But if you want food tonight, you better call me dad. I tell you what, I'm your father. You better call me dad. I'm not your brother." And so at least for the last couple days, we have corrected that. And he has been reminded that I am not his bruh. I'm his dad. But names mean something. It means something if you are William Graham. William Graham, many years ago, and his wife gave birth to a son, and they named that son William Graham. And that William Graham became better known as Billy Graham. And Billy Graham and his wife gave birth to a son, and they named that son William Graham. And that William Graham, William Franklin Graham, became better known as Franklin Graham. And that William Franklin Graham and his wife gave birth to a son, and they named him William Graham. And that William Graham became better known as Will Graham. And Will Graham grew up, and he and his wife gave birth to a son, and they named him William Graham. That William Graham is better known as Quinn, which means five. Five generations of William Graham. Five different people, all with the same name. How many know that is the opposite of our God? We serve one true living God who has a multitude of different names. He cannot be contained with one name. He has an abundance of different names. And I need to tell you today about some of these names, because if you have a small, limited view of God, then small things will bother you. Small things will concern you. But when you begin to understand the bigness and the magnitude of who God is, then your faith is not so rocked and is not so topsy-turvy or tumultuous. When you understand the significance of who God is and the magnitude of his different names that he has revealed to us, you can have a resilient faith and a faith that is filled with tenacity. And so today we're going to look at just a few different names of who our God is, but these are names of his. These are not titles of his. Like, I'm a father, and I'm a friend, and I'm a husband, and I'm a son, and I'm a pastor, and I'm a business owner, but these are titles that I have. These are not my name. And God has a multitude of different names. He's not just a creator, he is creator. He's not just a healer, he is healer. And that's what I want us to talk about here today. These are the names of who God is and how he has revealed himself to us. Because it matters who you call him. It matters who you call God. It matters what Moses called God. It matters what Moses called God. Moses, when he was called by God, he went up the mountain and spoke to God through a burning bush. And as they were having the conversation, Moses said to the burning bush, he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And then God responds in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "I am who I am." He said, "Say this to the people that I am has sent me to you." This is the name Yahweh. Yahweh. This means I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. Historically, this name was so holy that it was not even pronounced by the ancient Jews. They couldn't even say the word Yahweh, and so it was simply written as YHWH. The consonants of this word were written down because such a holy name could not be said by unholy lips. And so they would write this down as Yahweh. Anytime that you see in your Bible L-O-R-D as all capitals, this is the name Yahweh. Yahweh. And there's a sense of immediacy about this name that says that God is present with me. God is with me. And God was with me. And God will be with me as well. And when you take the consonants of Yahweh and you combine it with Adonai, you get Jehovah. Yahweh and Adonai becomes Jehovah. And this is powerful because God is not done revealing himself just yet. There's all kinds of names in Jehovah, and I'm excited to talk about them today, whether you've heard them many times before or whether you're hearing them today for the very first time. I believe that there's power in it. When you begin to know the names of God, it does wonders for your prayer life. When you begin to know the names of God, you can call on him in different kind of ways. When you begin to know the names of God, you are revealed by God all kinds of different attributes and aspects of him. It matters who you name God. It matters what Abraham named God. Back when Abraham and his wife Sarah were without child, they wanted a child of their own. God even promised them a child. God promised that there would be a nation that would come through him. However, they were without child and they couldn't have a child. And so many years went by with this frustration, eventually until Abraham and Sarah get pregnant and they give birth to Isaac, their child. And some years later, when Abraham and Isaac are walking along, God speaks to Abraham and says, I want you to sacrifice your child as an offering to me. And Abraham, who is filled with such hope, and Abraham, who knows God so well, says, okay. And he takes them up the mountain and he prepares an altar to sacrifice his son of promise. And he gets ready to offer his son as a sacrifice, but then God intervenes. And God says, Abraham, wait, don't do it. And it's in that moment that Abraham turns and he sees a ram that's caught in the thicket bush. He sees this, and it says this in Genesis chapter 22. Verse 13, it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Because Abraham knew God as Jehovah Jireh, my provider, then you can also know God as your provider too. And you might not know God in this way. Maybe you just know him as Jesus, and that's a great place to start, but he's also so much more than that. God can also be your provider. And if you don't know him as your provider, then you begin to think that your employment is your provider. You begin to think that your job is your provider. You begin to think that your boss is your provider. You begin to take confidence in your paycheck. You begin to take confidence in your own abilities. But I know that God is my provider. I know that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know that my God is a provider. I know that he can make a way where there seems to be no way. I know that my God can provide the oil that never runs out. I know that my God can multiply the loaves and the bread. I know that my God can make Solomon the richest man who has ever lived, because my God is a provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. And it matters who you name God. It matters what Abraham names God, and it matters who Moses named God. There was a time when Moses was leading the Israelites out in the wilderness. They had just left the occupation of Egypt. Moses is now leading the Israelites in the wilderness for 3 days, and they have had no water. And the people begin to grumble, and the people begin to be upset, as you would if you hadn't had water for 3 days. And they start getting frustrated, and Moses already knows that his God is a provider. And so he begins to call out to God and says, God, I know that you are a provider. I need you to provide water to our people. And God says, I'll do you one better. I'm not going to just provide water to you. I'm going to provide healing to you as well, because I am a healer. We see this in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put the diseases on you. I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. And maybe you don't know him just like this yet, but because Moses knew him as Jehovah Rapha, you too can know him as your healer in your body, and your healer in your mind, and your healer in your emotions, and your healer in your relationships. You can know Jehovah Rapha, who is your healer. And I'm all about pursuing medical care where it's needed, but your doctor is not your healer. I'm not speaking ill against doctors. You should see a doctor if you're unwell, but your doctor does not have supernatural abilities to heal you. That belongs to Jehovah Rapha. And God is such a healer that he put healing, he literally built healing on the inside of your body. It is now a natural part of your experience that if you break a bone, it will heal itself. If you cut your hand, it will heal itself. If you ran a half marathon yesterday and your body is aching today, it's going to be for a limited period of time because your body is going to heal itself. Amen, said the 10 people that are in agony today, that it's just a limited time. Not only did he build healing into your body, but he is Jehovah Rapha that you can call out to at any time. And so when you need healing from depression, you say, Jehovah Rapha, I need your healing power. When you have broken relationships, you say, Jehovah Rapha, I need your healing power in my relationships. And you have the ability to call out to Jehovah Rapha, my God who heals. It matters who you call him. It matters what David called him. David was a shepherd, and he spent his time with sheep, and there was this one time in particular that he spent his time with his sheep, and God revealed to him that he was also a shepherd. And so David wrote this in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I love this because David was a shepherd, and so God revealed himself in a way that was personal to him, in a way that he could make a personal connection with God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. This is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Several years ago, when Meredith and I were just about to welcome our third child into the world, we knew that the home that we were in was not a good fit for us anymore, and so we began looking for a new house to move into. And I told Meredith, hey, it's really important to me to find a house that has a swimming pool in the backyard. I said, I grew up in Australia with a swimming pool in the backyard, and I have countless memories of swimming in the backyard with my brothers and with my cousins and with my friends. And so I know that we need a new house, but if we can find a home that has a swimming pool in the backyard, that would mean the world to me. And so as we began searching, we found a house that had a swimming pool, and I remember seeing it and showing it to Meredith and saying, this is the house that I want for our children to grow up in. And so we placed an offer, and we were able to purchase that home, and then we moved into that home a month later. And then about a week later, Meredith said, I need to go out and run some errands, and she left me alone with the three boys for the very first time. And I remember thinking that we were doing a great job at parenting until then I realized when she left that I had no idea what I was doing in parenting, because all of a sudden I had three children to take care of. And I didn't know what to do for like the hour that she had left me there with the children. And so I said to our elders, hey, let's go out and play at the sandbox that's on the far side of the backyard, past the swimming pool. Let's go play over in the sandbox. And so all three of the children went out there, and I went out with them, and we're playing there for a little while, and then Lincoln, who's our second child, and he was 2 years old at the time, he said, Dad, I want to go inside, and I want to go get one of the toys from inside, and I want to bring it back out here to the sandbox so that we can play. I said, okay, cool, you can go get the toy and then come straight back, and I stay sitting there with our eldest child and with our youngest child, and we're playing in the sandbox and having a good time, and about a minute passes, and then I suddenly became aware that I had never heard the back door of our house open or close. Like, I instantly felt like someone had just shaken me to attention like this. And I instantly stood and I ran to the swimming pool. And I saw our 2-year-old son at the bottom of the swimming pool with his eyes still open, and his hand reaching up for someone to save him. And I dove into the swimming pool as fast as I could, and I snatched him up and pulled him back to the surface. And thank God he was still breathing and coughing and able to take in air. It was because God was my shepherd that he guided me in how to bring protection to my children. I didn't know him like this before then, but he became Jehovah Rohi to me in that moment. Because the job of a shepherd is to guide and protect. The job of a shepherd is to leave the 99 and go after the one. To leave the two that are fine playing in the sandbox and go after the one that is at the bottom of the swimming pool. In that moment, I began to know God as my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rohi. He is Jehovah Rohi. And when you don't know what to do and you don't know what to pursue and what decisions to make, he can be Jehovah Rohi to you as well. And he can guide you towards provision, and he can guide you towards protection, because the enemy wants nothing more than to kill and to steal and to destroy everything that God has given you, every deposit that God has made on the inside of you. But the shepherd can guide you from the enemy, and the shepherd can protect you from the plans of the enemy. It matters who you call him. Because David called him Jehovah Rohi, I now know him as Jehovah Rohi as well. It matters who you call him. I have like 10 more of these, but can we just do one more for today? All right. Because there's a lot more to get through, but maybe we'll do the rest next week or something like that. Would that be all right? The names of God. We'll continue studying the names of God next week. I want to give you one more for today. This is Hagar. It matters who Hagar called him. Hagar. It partially matters what Hagar called him because this is the very first time that God is given a name. And if you know Scripture well, or if you like to study Scripture, you know that the principle of first mentions is significant. The first time something happens, or the first time something is named, is of significance. And the first time that God is named It's by Hagar. And the story of Hagar is usually relegated to women's conferences, and the story of Hagar is usually sidelined for ladies' meetings and things like that, but there's so much truth found in the story of Hagar. And so, fellas, I need you to grab the revelation and the truth that's found in the story of Hagar here as well, because there's significance in what Hagar called God. If you remember, Abraham and Sarah wanted a child, and before they were able to have a child that they named Isaac, they were frustrated. And Sarah said to Abraham in her impatience, "Hey, I know that we cannot have children, and I know that God has promised you children, so if we can't have children together, then you should go and sleep with Hagar, our slave." And Abraham was like, "All right, you don't got to tell me twice." And so he goes to Hagar and he does exactly that. And he sleeps with her. And they have a child. And then Sarah gets all kinds of jealous because Hagar has just gotten pregnant. And then Hagar gets sent out from the family. Sarah says, "I don't want you around here anymore. Leave our family and never come back." And Hagar now is off in the wilderness, and she's frustrated, and she's alone, and she's by herself, and she's unsure if she's going to be able to care for herself, and she's unsure if she's going to be able to provide for her child. And she cries out to God, and she doesn't yet know that God is her provider, and she doesn't yet know that God is her healer, and she doesn't yet know all of these things about God. And she cries out to God and she says, "God, do you even see me? God, do you even know me?" And God responds to her, "Hagar, I see you. Hagar, I see you." And it's the first time in Scripture that Hagar is even mentioned by name. Up until that moment, Hagar had always been referred to as that servant or that slave or your servant or your slave. When Abraham and Sarah would talk to one another, no one ever talked to her as Hagar. And in that moment when she cried out to God, God responded to her, "Hagar, I see you." And then she responds like this in Genesis chapter 16. Verse 13, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly I have seen him who looks after me. He is Jehovah Roi, the God who sees." He sees you before you even saw him. He knew you before you even knew him. In your despair, in your confusion, in your loneliness, in your frustration, God sees you. He is Jehovah Roi, the God who sees. And the lie of the enemy is that you are alone. And the lie of the enemy is that you are invisible. The lie of the enemy is that you are unvaluable. But I came today to tell you and to declare over you that Jehovah Roi sees you. And Jehovah Roi knows you. And Jehovah Roi loves you. And even when you're struggling with your depression, Jehovah Roi sees you. And even when your bills don't make any kind of sense, Jehovah Roi sees you. Jehovah Roi is the God who sees you and knows you and loves you. And the beautiful thing about all these different names is that the names that are listed in the Bible are not all that there is to know about our God. They are just some of the names that we can know about God. because our God is still revealing himself to us. This is the ongoing revelation of who our God is. What that means is that there is an opportunity for us to know things about God that are not yet even written about in the Bible. God is revealing himself continually and ongoingly. And it is my heart that we would be a church family that would spend so much time in the presence of God that he would reveal aspects of himself that nobody has ever seen before, that nobody has ever heard before, that God would reveal portions of himself that are not written about in the Bible, that no one has ever thought of before, that this would be fresh and profound revelation, that he would speak to our church in a way that would influence our worship, and in a way that would influence our prayer, and in a way that would influence the way that we go about our work and influence our perspective, that we would see a side of God that nobody has ever seen before, that God would reveal himself to us. And I'm excited about that, that everything that we read about in Scripture is not all that there is to know about God. And if you want to see sides of God that no one has ever seen before, would you just stand to your feet so that I can pray over you today? If you're hungry for the presence of God, if you're hungry and desperate to see him move and see him speak in ways that we don't know about, that we haven't seen before, then I want to pray over you. God, I'm thankful that you are a God who reveals yourself to us. I'm thankful that you revealed yourself to us all the way back in the beginning as Creator, and that you are Yahweh, a name that is so holy. You are a holy God, and you are a righteous God, and you are a victorious God. I thank you that you are Jehovah, and that you are Rapha, and that you are Jireh. I thank you that you are Rohi and that you are Roy. And I thank you that you are God who sees your people. And so I speak over your people today that you would see them in their loneliness, that you would see them in their difficulty, that you would see them in their victory. I thank you that you are a God who sees them. And I thank you that you are a God who is still revealing yourself to us. And God, we want to spend so much time in your presence that new songs would be birthed out of this house, that new prayers would be prayed from this house, that we would experience you in a fresh and profound and brand new way because you have revealed yourself to us, God. That you have shown us characteristics and attributes of just who you are. I thank you that you're so good and you're so gracious, that you are not a far-off God, but that you draw near to us so that we can know you and be known by you. What a precious and awesome thing that is. And God, we're hungry for you. And we all say that this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.